Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast with your host, Mike Campion. If you are passionate about the cleaning industry, you are in the right place. Love what you hear? Spread the word and tell the cleaning world this is the place to be. Want more? Check out www.growmycleaningcompany.com for free online video trainings, free ebook downloads, free blog posts, and of course, all the podcast episodes. Everything you need to grow your cleaning company is at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. And now, on with the show.
Welcome to the Grow My Cleaning Company podcast, the place for everything you need to know to grow your cleaning company. If you love the show, and I know you do, be a pal and tell a friend because I'm a Broncos fan, that's why. Today we are chatting with Carolyn from CNS Janitorial based in Birmingham, Alabama. Carolyn started CNS Janitorial in 2005. They clean houses, apartments, commercial buildings, retail stores, even construction cleanup. They do floor and they also do floor and carpet cleaning. CNS serves all 50 states and has over 100 employees. Their goal is to make sure that their customers are 100% satisfied. Carolyn, please say hello to Cleaning Nation.
How you doing today? How everybody doing today?
Fantastic. I'm so glad to have you on the show. Before we jump into the coaching part and start helping you grow your cleaning company, I always love to know a little bit about who we're dealing with. So are you single? Are you married? What do you do for fun? Give us a little bit of an insight into a day in the life of Carolyn.
I'm single. I love to go out. I love to go to church. I love going bowling. I love going fishing, you know, in my spare time. That's exactly what I like to do when I'm not working. You know, I read my Bible. I love family. So that's exactly what I like to do in my spare time.
A woman after my own heart. What made you get into the cleaning business, Carolyn?
Well, you know, this is a crazy story, but I was looking for a cleaning company, and I worked there for a long time. And I said, Lord, I can start my own. And I decided one day, and I just sat down and just made up a name, and I just started. I got my business license, and went on, got my liability insurance. Just called one of the ads in the yellow pages, and stuff, and people just start calling me for different jobs and stuff. So I just thank God, that's how I started. It's been 10 years now, and God has really blessed our company.
So I guess that said, what does the CNS stand for?
The C part is Carolyn, and the S stands for Shawn. That's my sister. We started this company, like I said, 10 years ago. We've been going strong ever since. We do all types of, like, no job is too big and no job is too small for us. We do it for the passion. We love what we do. We don't just do it for the revenue. We do it because of the customers. And once again, we want to be where we're at today. So.
Okay, perfect. And then before we get into the coaching, any tips on how you went from zero to 100 employees in just 10 years?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Any tips on how you did it you can share with Cleaning Nation?
How I did it. I'm going to be honest with you. The main important thing when it comes down to bidding and communication with the people, and any kind of having 100 employees is the communication with the employees, the communication with the customers, the way showing that you care. People don't know until they know how much you care about them. That's how my business has grown for so long, and how I have generated a lot of customers and stuff. So, like I said, people don't know until they know how much you care.
All right, perfect. Thank you for sharing that. All right, now how can we help you grow your business today?
Well, I have had a lot of clients, and I have had a lot of companies, but my key is helping me bid on my bidding of the contracts and stuff. Sometimes I underbid, and sometimes, like I said, you lose out, but that's my main goal today, is helping me bid on a lot of stuff in my area and in different states that I have worked in.
Okay, so do you... are you talking about how to get bids or how to create a bid and know how much to charge once you get someone that wants you to bid?
How to create a bid and charge.
I don't know how to charge. Okay, fantastic. So first of all, how do you do it now so we can kind of get an idea and then help you do it, help you improve your process?
Well, pretty much I go off the square footage of the building and what all they need done in the building. That's exactly how we do it now. And you write a proposal. And like I say, it's a step. It's going to be a lot of people didn't know what you're bidding on, but like I say, you could be the lowest bid or the highest bid. I didn't know, instance, I had been the lowest bid and I still have lost the bid. It really doesn't matter if you're the highest or the lowest. It just depends on the proposal you're writing, or just how what more services you're adding. And some people may add more services than you. It just depends on the bid.
Okay, well, let me hit both of those really quickly then. First, you made a good point that sometimes you're the lowest and you don't get it, and sometimes you're not the lowest and you do get it. And I think that's key. A lot of people don't understand that. They think it's all about the money. And if it was, everybody would be driving Hyundais or Kias or whatever the cheap, or, you know, Yugos,
right.
You know, everybody would be driving the cheapest. So I think the key, and you mentioned it earlier when you talked about how you grew, is you've got to understand what the customer wants and be able to communicate that to them. Because if they don't feel that you're solving their problem, even if it's, if you're half as much as the next guy, but you're not solving their problem, it's not a good value to them. Or even if you're 50% more, but you're the only one that truly understands the transformation or the result they're trying to get, and you communicate that, and you're, and that's throughout the sales process, ending and culminating in the bid process, then you've got a shot. So I think that's key. It doesn't matter how much you bid. If you haven't done a good job identifying what their pain is, what's important to them, and being able to clearly communicate that you can solve that. So does that make sense kind of as a foundation?
That makes good sense. That makes good sense.
Okay, perfect. So the next thing we'll talk about is a little bit of the logistics and the tactics of how to actually put together a bid. First of all, I don't recommend to any of my customers or clients that they use square footage pricing. It can really bite you, because if you get a warehouse, that's going to be a totally different square foot price than an office building, than a hospital with a clean room, than a retail store, than a restaurant, than a mortuary. I can go on and on and on. So it's very important that you start using square footage. You can be off by a ton, just because some square footage take a lot of time and some square footage take very little, and it can bite you both ways. Just like you said, Carolyn, you can be way over and lose business, or you can be way under and get the business but end up not getting profitable business. So the way I always coach all of my customers to do it, sorry about that, my voice is dying today. The way I coach my customers is always go by time first. So the bad news is it's going to take you longer, right? It's a lot easier just to go, well, 2,000 square feet, 20 cents a square foot, boot, wada bing, wada bang, I've got a bid. It takes a lot longer to measure a building, find out how long each process or task or area, depending on how you do it internally, is going to take. But you start with hours, and then you multiply those hours times overhead, and overhead, you know, should be some percentage of your time. So if you're paying your people $10 an hour, I would add 20% to that in Arizona. It could be different state to state, because there's, you know, for us, there's FUTA, you know, unemployment insurance, there's taxes or Social Security, all that matching fun stuff that we get to pay as business owners. I usually figure that at about 20%. So if I'm paying $10 an hour, I figure in my bidding that each employee is going to cost me $12 an hour, because they do, right? I have to pay these expenses. So once I do that, say I figure it's going to take 100 hours a month. Well, that's $1,200 a month, my $10 plus 20% for Social Security and unemployment and all that good stuff is $12 an hour times 100 is $1,200. And then you want to figure what your overhead is. And for a larger company, if you've got sales staff and managers and administration folks, your overhead might be 60% of that. Of that number. And if you're just starting and it's just you and you've got a couple employees, it might be 30 or 40% of that number. But the another mistake a lot of my customers make is they figure that at zero or at 5 or 10 or 20%. Your overhead's going to always be at least 30%, and that's if you're running very, very lean. It costs money to have a website. It costs money to have a cell phone. It costs money to drive out to the person and physically make them a bid. It costs money to keep your workman's comp insurance. There's all these expenses that are there. So start getting used to putting overhead in your bids early, because you're going to need that. And then the final piece is, once you've got that total number, so let's just say 50%. So if I've got my $1,200 in labor and I had 50% for overhead, and again, yours is going to be different, that's another $600. So I've got $1,800 in cost. Then you've got to add your profit. Depending on the size of the job, this is totally up to you, but I recommend and encourage and coach my customers to be at that 10 to 20% profit margin. So let's just call it 20%, because we want to make some money. We take, or 10%, because the numbers are easier. We take that $1,800, 10% of that's only $180, and then we add that, we're at $1,980. So that's the concept I would use for my bids, is find out how many hours it's going to take you. Make sure you include your overhead for those, or your expenses for those hours, Social Security, Medicare, all that. or not Medicare, Social Security, unemployment, whatever you've got in your state, that varies state to state. For me, it's about 20%. Work, you know, yeah, workman's comp, all that crap. Then you add your overhead, and then you add your profit, and that is generally going to get you where you need to be. The last thing is you want to make sure you have minimums. And first of all, if you're thinking, wow, $1,800 a month or $2,000 a month, and I'm only making $200. Well, first of all, I use the small end, right? I said 10 to 20%. That's the least I would do. And second, that should be profit to you personally in your pocket, because you've already covered your expenses of the employees with that 20%. You've already covered your overhead with the, you know, 30 to 60% that you've added. So that means every month your personal income should be $180 from that account at 10%. Or if you want 20%, it'd be all the way up to 360, which for a small to medium account like that, you know, 20% is not unreasonable at all. So I know that was a lot of talking and a lot of numbers, but you asked the question on bidding and I wanted to answer it. Any questions I can, any follow-up questions I can give for you?
No, wait, that was wonderful. Just sitting here listening to you, which is good to listen instead of talk when people are helping you on your business. Everything you said, like you said at the end, like, I just made $200, but that's $200 that you didn't have. So that, you know, I think it was awesome. You know, that's awesome. I'm learning something and it really helped me.
Perfect. That is why I do this. And the last thing before we move on to the lightning round, I mentioned it real quickly, but I want to make sure I enforce it. Make sure you've got minimums and make sure you know who your target customer is. So minimums, there's a couple ways that you can do that. You can have minimum times per month or week that you clean. I always like when I had my company, I like the 3 to 5 times a week cleaning, and I would only take cleanings that were a minimum of once a week. If they wanted me to come once or twice a month, that wasn't for me. Not that you can't do that, but you have to at least have your minimum and know that what that is, so you can focus on getting more of your ideal customers instead of just whoever walks through the door. You also might have a minimum billing, right? It might be $200, $300, whatever the case may be. You might just say, you know, if a guy only wants one cleaning a month and it's only worth $80, that you just don't do $80 a month contracts. You need at least $150 or $200 or whatever. And then the key, this is probably the most important one, that if you can only pick one minimum or only we're willing to pick one minimum, this is the one. Profit. You've got to have that minimum profit number. For me, it had to be at least $100. I really prefer 150 or 200. So if you do all that math, you know, say it was just a little account and your labor and overhead only came out to $300 a month, and you figured, well, I'm going to go 20%. Well, that's only $60 in profit. I would add a minimum of 100 no matter what. So it was always, So again, if your profit, when you take your 10 or 20% multiplier that you're going to add on, or you could do 30 if you want, it's up to you. It would always have to be 100. So if that came out to $55, I added 100 in profit no matter what. So that's my other 2 cents is make sure when you're doing these bids, you can get your lunch eaten pretty quick by doing $100 a month bids. Is so much harder to manage and maintain and administrate than, you know, $100 a month bids. That's $10,000 a month. It'd be so much easier to do 10 $1,000 a month accounts, or ideally one $10,000 a month account. But then of course the problem is if you lose your one account, you're out of business. So you got to be careful. You don't want to have too many accounts where you're so many layers of management, but you don't have too few where if you lose one, it is crippling to your business. So cool. Any other questions I can answer for you before we hit the lightning round, Carolyn?
That'll be all.
All right, perfect. I'm going to give you 3 quick questions. You're going to give me 3 awesome answers. Question number 1, what's the best piece of advice you've ever received?
The best piece of advice I ever received in a business is just whatever I do, just do it with heart. You know, a lot of people, they get jobs, they get contracts, they don't do it with heart. I go in there with a heart. I go in there with the passion to clean. I go in there with good ambition. So that's...
Okay, perfect. Now here's kind of a fun one I like asking, so other owners of cleaning companies can save themselves the headache maybe that you've gone through. What's the biggest mistake you've made in the cleaning business that you can share with us so we don't make that same mistake going forward?
The biggest mistake in the cleaning business, just losing good contracts.
Okay, and do you know why you lost them, or just that was the biggest thing is you just lost them and you didn't know why?
Just not having the right employees in there doing the job. That's exactly why.
Okay. So not having the right employees is the biggest mistake.
Just not hiring people that was dedicated to doing their work, you know. So that's my.
Easier said than done in the cleaning business, Carolyn, but that was very wise of you to identify that. Okay, last question. What is the number one most actionable item owners of cleaning companies can put into practice today to most drastically improve their lives and or their business?
Just I want everybody to know this in the cleaning business. I know it's hard. It's very hard. But just like I keep stressing to people, do it with passion. I guarantee you, you do it with passion, and you're not going to win all. You're going to lose some. But I guarantee you, you go in there with a positive attitude about whatever you do. I guarantee you, everything will work out for you.
Beautiful passion. That's such a good answer. All right, Carolyn, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for sharing your passion and your desire to grow. I appreciate you. Cleaning Nation appreciates you. If you want to check out Carolyn's show notes page and discover everything you need to grow your cleaning company, go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com. You can leave your questions, your comments, your rude remarks, and I will see you there.
Congratulations. You are now 16% smarter. Still can't get enough cleaning goodness? Go to www.growmycleaningcompany.com for more of the good stuff. Ever want to be rich and famous? Owners of cleaning companies, as well as industry experts, can apply to be featured on the show by emailing our producer, Natalie, at support@growmycleaningcompany.com. Until then, don't miss out on all the latest cleaning industry lovin' at www.growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now.